with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So you know the number of cases of Alzheimer's disease continues to increase yearly. It's quite alarming, and it has a few neurologists and dementia specialist, worried what's going to happen in the next, 5 years, 10 years, and unless we really, figure out what the true pathology is with Alzheimer's disease, and I think we have some ideas. I'm going to share that with you today, and plus some new research. If we don't really start figuring this out in approaching the real mechanism that's driving Alzheimer's dementia, we're going to be in trouble. There's going to be a lot of people suffering from this devastating disease. I was talking to a neurologist recently that felt that we were just getting better at diagnosing it, and that's why the numbers were going up. That's not true. The numbers, these are real increases in the incidence and prevalence of Alzheimer's dementia in the United States, actually in Western developed countries. Isn't that interesting? That Alzheimer's dementia, and really all forms of dementia, because Alzheimer's is just one form. There's several different types. All of these types of brain disorders are higher in developed countries. I mean, what doesn't that make you think a little bit? Like, what are we doing? What's different about the United States versus, say, an underdeveloped country? Well, I mean, toxins. I mean, the Industrial Revolution, just when it started, brought in much more pollution of our air, water, soil. So, I mean, there's something there. So, no, I do believe that it's true increases in the numbers of Alzheimer's dementia. So I get excited when I see some pretty interesting studies, or at least in this case, one study that was published in the journal Nature, January 14th, 2015. I found this really interesting because they were looking at hibernating animals, like bears, for instance, and they noticed that during hibernation, the brain of these hibernating animals was protected. I mean, you in a sense are entering into a low oxygen type state because you're hibernating, right? The animal's hibernating, so they're not breathing as much. Oxygen levels can drop quite significantly in these animals, yet the brain itself is protected. They come out of hibernation without any sort of neurological problem. So they started thinking, well, what's going on? How is the hibernating animal able to protect its brain, its brain function, its cognition? And so what they started looking at was creating these types of artificial environments in other animals, this type of low oxygen brain environment. They also noticed that the body temperature drops, so they started creating colder body temperatures in these animals. And in this study, they identified when you do that, when you add this type of stressor, because that's what it is, right? When you're, whether you're hibernating or not, when there's less oxygen in the body, that's a stressor, right? When you're cold, on the verge of hypothermia, and some of these animals do get down that low, by the way. When you're cold, it's a stressor. So what they found was that there's one particular protein that is increasing in the brain of these hibernating animals with low oxygen and who happen to also be cold. So they started isolating this protein, started looking at it. What is this protein doing something? And sure enough, they have identified that this protein does protect the brain cells. It's able to protect not only the structure of the brain cell, but also the brain cell connections. I've talked about that a lot here on Healthy Talk, right? The structure of the brain cell is very important. There's a definite structure function relationship to a brain cell, meaning if it's structured right, if it has the cell membrane, the myelin sheath, if all that's correct, it's going to function better. So we definitely have to preserve that. But I've also talked on this show about the importance of those connections. How one brain cell connects to another brain cell. Where that connection is made is called a synapse, and it can make, one brain cell can make thousands of synaptic connections to other brain cells, and it forms this neuronal highway. And on this highway, cognition and memory and recall are all occurring. So it's extremely important. So what they found is these stressors, right? The low oxygen state, the coldness that's consistent in hibernating animals tends to produce this type of protective protein that preserves not only the brain cell structure, but all of its communication connections to other brain cells. So that's very promising research, because now we can start looking at that protein and is there ways that we can go in there genetically and turn it on in Alzheimer's dementia? Can we isolate this protein, put it in a pill form, inject it, you know, whatever? So it really, I think this is something to watch. Again, this was from Nature, January 14, 2015. Let's follow this. I think they're onto something here, that there's this brain cell protective protein that increases under stress that preserves the brain cell and its connections. I mean, that's awesome. And so I'm going to keep my eye out on that personally. But obviously that's way down the line. I mean, that's this was just basically laboratory work. I mean, they have to isolate the protein. They have to figure out exactly what the protein is, what gene is coding for. I mean, there's all kinds of work to be. You're talking years, but it's the beginning of what I think could be a very exciting treatment potential for Alzheimer's dementia. But what can we do today? You know, maybe you have Alzheimer's in your family. Maybe you have Alzheimer's, mild, moderate. You know, maybe you have a friend, a family member. I mean, what can you do? Well, here's, you know, the problem sometimes I think with conventional medicine is we focus on the end result. And we kind of react to that end result. And in Alzheimer's dementia, the end result are these abnormal protein deposits in the brain. And these abnormal protein deposits destroy those brain cell connections, those highways. That's why cognition goes down. You have the amyloid beta protein, and there's also one called tau protein. And that's the end result. I mean, so Alzheimer's patients have a lot of these abnormal deposits in the brain. The brain cell connections get disrupted, and that's when the dementia kicks in. And so most of the treatments, conventionally speaking, are focused on those proteins, those abnormal proteins. But what caused them in the first place? Well, one, some good research is looking at oxidative stress from a lot of toxins in our environment. So I would increase central nervous system antioxidants like pregnenolone, curcumin. Turns out some of the pigmented antioxidants that we use for our eyes, like astaxanthin and lutein, at higher doses will cross into the brain and can lower oxidative stress. So that's the first thing I would do. Number two, you got to ease inflammation in the brain. Many years ago, Time magazine talked about the brain on fire in Alzheimer's patients, and that was absolutely right. There's a drug called Enbrel, which is normally for psoriatic arthritis. I think it's even maybe used in rheumatoid arthritis, these kind of autoimmune type inflammatory conditions. Enbrel, given in injection form, can really bring down inflammation in the brain quickly, and cognition improves quite significantly within a few hours of administering Enbrel. So that's something to keep an eye on out. But what about natural, anti-inflammatories for the brain? The omega-3 oils, at least two grams a day, probably 4 grams if you have Alzheimer's or it runs in your family. We also know that it's important to improve brain cell energy production, ATP. So things like CoQ10, D-ribose, carnitine, those are classic cell energy supplements. Make sure you increase those. You might also consider PQQ, pyroloquinoline quinone, which helps to boost mitochondrial, the number of mitochondria, those powerhouses. Also interesting, research is showing that Alzheimer's patients have spirochetes in their brain. So the same bacteria that cause Lyme disease, so maybe treating spirochete infection. So there's some suggestions there, but let's watch that one study in Nature for future Alzheimer's treatment. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.